If you live in an area with lots of truck traffic, the air can get pretty foul. And as the former industrial areas become increasingly developed and gentrified, more and more people are living near freight routes, and that could be making us sick. We'd like to hear from you. Do you think air pollution is affecting our health? And what can we do about reducing airborne pollution in Australia? We'd love to hear from you. You can leave a comment on our Facebook page. With us today is Dr. Vicky Kotsiroulos. She's an associate professor at La Trobe University and Western Sydney University. And she's also a member of Doctors for the Environment in Australia, which wants stronger national air pollution standards. Dr. Kotsiroulos, welcome to Life Matters.
Thank you, Hilary.
Now, how clean is the air in our cities and towns generally?
Okay, we do actually have an air pollution problem in most major cities and regional areas of Australia. Particularly for people who work, live near high pollution sources, such as major roads, industry and coal-fired power stations. These areas we call hotspots. The common air pollutants include particulate matters, nitrogen dioxide, ozone, sulfur dioxide, metals and carbon monoxide. And based on the scientific evidence, these pollutants all cause harm, even at lower levels below government standards.
Now, a lot of people in the cities wouldn't be surprised to hear that, but it's a little bit of a shock sometimes to hear that regional areas can be affected too.
That's right. Well, wherever there's a high pollution source, so it could even be in your shopping centre, near major roads in regional areas, and of course if you're near coal-fired power stations and industry.
We'll go into some more detail about those later. Do we know if it's getting worse?
The situation's getting worse because the population's growing. As the population grows, as we overdevelop urban sprawling, we've got more and more vehicles on the road, and therefore emissions will grow, and it will be a constant challenge for all Australians.
Let's hear from Kate. She lives in the inner west of Melbourne, and she's concerned about how it's affecting her child's health.
My name is Kate and I live in Yarraville on Williamstown Road, a road that carries over 2,000 trucks per day. Living with the trucks is really stressful. In particular, I worry about what the air pollution is doing to my son's little lungs and his health in general. He was recently diagnosed with wheeze, despite having no family history of asthma in our family. And this has made me even more concerned. We can't use our garden or open our windows due to the smell of diesel.
Dr. Vicky Kotsiroulos, what does the research tell us about the health impacts of air pollution?
Yeah, well, children firstly are particularly prone to the impacts of health pollution because their lungs are growing, they play outdoors and they're breathing much more deeper and more rapid. And lungs don't develop till we become adults, so they're a particularly susceptible group to respiratory problems. In general, there's a significant growing body of scientific research in Australia and overseas in first world countries like Australia that demonstrates air pollutants can cause or aggravate a number of health problems such as lung and heart disease, cognitive problems, poor lung development and asthma in children, low birth weight of babies and preterm births in pregnant women, infertility, diabetes and even lung cancer. It's a big list. And all these conditions are multifactorial. So if you're a smoker, poor lifestyle. However, air pollution is a modifiable risk factor. We can make a difference. And it's a risk factor that we can alter the levels of air pollution, particularly in the hotspot areas where we see where we're currently experiencing high pollution.
Now, you're a GP. What kinds of things have you personally seen that might be related to air pollution? And how easy is it to tell if someone like Kate comes to you with their child? How can you tell that that wheeze is related to air pollution?
That's right. So it's not always easy, and GPs do commonly see a lot of these health conditions because we know it's multifactorial. So, for example, in asthma, dust mite, viruses, exercise can all trigger asthma. However, we also know if you live near a major road or a high pollution source, it will increase the chances of a young child developing lung disease and asthma. And every day we see conditions like sinus problems, sore throats, coughs, colds coming in. And quite often I'll ask my patients, do you live near a major road? And when they say yes, I say, well, maybe you should consider it might be the air pollution pollution. And in some cases, when it's severe enough, patients do consider moving because of that.
I mean, coughs and colds happen a lot. How severe would it have to be before you could say maybe there's a link?
Well, what happens, children are particularly prone to coughs and colds. So the only thing is that air pollution, because it impacts lung development and the defences within the lung, it can make children more prone to developing recurrent coughs and colds.
Joining us too is Martin Wirt. He's the president of the Maribyrnong Truck Action Group in the inner west of Melbourne, which is a former industrial heartland. Martin, welcome to Life Matters.
Hi, Hilary. Thanks for having me on.
It's a pleasure to have you both here. Now, Martin, when we talk about truck routes, most people would think of major roads, perhaps with cleared land on either side. What's the case in your area for people not familiar with Melbourne?
Yeah, well, the city of Maribyrnong, our neighbour is the Port of Melbourne, the largest container port in Australia. And for those trucks to get out to the warehouses further out west, they use our residential streets. And our streets were laid out, you know, well over 100 years ago. They're narrow streets, often one lane in either direction, with little timber cottages built about a metre back from the footpath. So there's no buffer zones to these trucks. And some of our streets are carrying the highest number of trucks almost recorded anywhere in Australia. Francis Street, for example, has well over 5,000 trucks a day. Williamstown Road, where we just heard from Kate, has up around 2,000 trucks a day. And that's expected to be doubling once this new Westgate Tunnel project opens up.
Which Melbourne listeners would be very familiar with, but perhaps not people in other parts of Australia. Martin, what changes in air quality have you seen in your neighbourhood over the years?
Well, as our freight load increases, we keep importing more products and more products. As our manufacturing closed down, we just see more and more trucks on our roads. The city of Maribyrnong has one of the highest hospital admission rates for children with respiratory ailments in the country for kids aged 0 to 16. And we also know the city of Maribyrnong has asthma rates 50% above what the national average is. So we're already seeing these health statistics that are saying it's bad. The air quality we've got is bad. Environmental Justice Australia did a report a couple of years ago called Clearing the Air, and it found Yarraville in the city of Melbourne in the city of Maribyrnong to be one of the 12 hotspots for air pollution in the country.
Graham is also from Melbourne's inner west. Let's hear his concerns.
I live on a busy road in Melbourne's inner west. It has a lot of port traffic passing. We knew that when we bought our place about 4 years ago. But since then, the truck traffic has increased considerably. It's a whole lot noisier outside. And of course, it's harder to get across the road now. We've found that my wife's asthma has worsened markedly since we've been here. And the more information I read about diesel exhaust, I start to realise why and start to worry more as well. The World Health Organization says that diesel exhaust is carcinogenic to humans. And VicHealth says that diesel engines can emit up to 100 times the level of fine particles, the dangerous ones, that are emitted from a petrol engine.
So Dr. Vicky Kotsiroulos, you're a member of Doctors for the Environment. Kate and Graham were both particularly concerned about diesel emissions. Are those emissions worse for us than other fuels, or are modern engine filters taking care of that?
Diesel emissions are worse and are a contributor to air pollutants like your particulate matters and nitrogen dioxide. And what the studies have shown, that it doesn't matter what level there are in the air, they all level causes harm. There is no safe level for air pollutants. So even though we've got cutoffs and guidelines that have been set by government, the risk of harm to people is actually even less than those cutoffs.
Let's talk a little bit about other parts of the country as well. We've heard a bit about Melbourne's pollution hotspots. Data this year showed that Sydney's west has much worse air pollution than the city's east. Liverpool exceeded the national air quality standards for particulate pollution by 25%. How widespread is this problem across Australia?
Well, it impacts all Australians. So it doesn't matter where you live. If you're in a city, and particularly in these hotspot areas, you're going to be impacted. Proximity to the pollutants is the issue. So basically, anyone who lives, works, attends schools or childcare centres near major roads or living near coal-fired power stations and industry are more susceptible to harm. And the type of people who are susceptible are your children, the elderly, pregnant women, the babies born to pregnant women, and people with pre-existing heart disease. So there are better quality air areas, but it can impact virtually anyone in these hotspot areas.
Let's talk a little bit about coal-fired power stations, because they affect lots of regions around Australia, all the different states, Perth, Brisbane, the Hunter Valley, the Latrobe Valley. How big a problem are they compared to emissions from fuel and other sources of air pollution?
That's a good question, because one of the problems in major cities is that quite often when we measure and monitor for pollutants, it's not really right at the hotspot. It can be, they're often measured at parklands, for example, what we call ambient background air pollution. So we do need to better monitor closer to the source of the pollution, like your major roadways, so we can see in real terms what the actual effect will be to the local residents who live, work, or the kids who go to school in that area. And same with coal-powered stations. Anyone who lives near that area is going to be impacted by the high sources of air pollution. So both are important.
We're talking with Dr. Vicky Kotsiroulos, who's an associate professor at La Trobe University and Western Sydney University. And with us too is Martin Wirt from the Maribyrnong Truck Action Group. And we'd love to hear from you too. Do you think air pollution is making us sick? And what can we do about reducing airborne pollutants? We'd love to hear what you have to say. You can leave a comment on our Facebook page. Martin, what kind of traction do you get when you try and raise these concerns with various levels of government?
I've been campaigning now for up to 20 years, so it's been a very slow process. We started off with Steve Brax. It's his electorate where we live. At the time, he was saying, well, you don't have to live there. You can simply move out.
So this is former Premier of Victoria.
Yeah, it's been a long, slow process to actually get our councillors and our local state members of government to actually understand what the dangers are. So MTAG kind of feels like we've been waving the red flag for a very long time to get people to take it on board.
And why is that, do you think? Do you think it's related to the fact that it's traditionally been a working class suburb which has experienced a range of different pollution issues?
It's definitely part of that, but I think people have a very traditional idea of what air pollution is. If you can't see it, there is no air pollution. But the trouble is, with a lot of the pollutants that we have, you can't see them. You don't know they're in the air. And so if people can't see them, they don't think they're there, and politicians don't think it's a big problem. And the other thing is, we have emission standards put in, like trucks, for example. It's estimated up to 50% of the trucks doing freight runs around Australia have no pollution controls whatsoever. That's equivalent of like having our roads full of 1975 Holden Kingswoods. There's just no incentive for those new truck drivers to get new trucks. So we end up with these old ones on our roads.
And Martin, what about the argument that people moving to those areas want all the advantages of living in inner urban areas, but don't want the pollution? Is that just a trade-off that you have to take if you want to live in those areas?
Well, I think living in these inner city areas, we deserve clean air as much as anybody else. My house is 108 years old. It was there well before the trucks. It was there well before any of that manufacturing or air pollution came about. And so I've got a right to clean air as much as the next person.
We're on Life Matters discussing air pollution today, and we'd love to hear your thoughts if you'd like to leave a comment on our Facebook page. Dr. Vicky Kotsiroulos, how do we compare to the rest of the world in our air pollution levels?
That's a good question, because often we think, because we're in a first world country, that we don't have an air pollution problem. And we know that third world countries like Asian communities do suffer from high pollution. However, there's been a growing body of studies in the last 10 years showing that virtually every major city in the world, within Europe, United States of America, and also here in Australia, indicating that we are suffering from air pollution problems. So a really good study that was done recently of over 2,500 children in 12 Australian major cities found that small increases of nitrogen dioxide, which is one of the pollutants, is significantly associated, increases the risk of asthma and reduce lung function. And this is really low levels, as low as 9 parts per billion. At the moment, our cutoff is 30 parts per billion. So way below what we think is safe. And hence, because those cutoffs are so high, we think we don't have a problem here. But we do, because there is no safe level of air pollution in Australia.
And these are non-binding regulations. They're not laws. They're not enforceable.
Yes.
And they've been around for a really long time. What's the situation now? Because I think they have finally been in the process of getting an update.
That's right. So there's some good news here. Australia's first air quality national environmental protection measures are standards that were adopted over 20 years ago, in 1989, for six criteria of air pollutants. The National Environmental Protection Council is currently revising those standards, but only for three of those pollutants, nitrogen dioxide, sulfur dioxide and ozone, because we now know that the health impacts occur at lower concentrations than previously thought based on the latest scientific studies.
So are they looking at particulate pollution at all?
Not at the moment, no. But by improving those pollutants, it will consequently improve particulate matter. So it's really important and wonderful news. Motor vehicles, coal-fired power station and industry are the main sources of these three pollutants. And the good news is that by lowering the levels within Australia, it will significantly impact the health of Australians. However, what is being proposed is still not low enough. So, for example, I mentioned earlier the example of the children. The current level is 30 parts per billion. In other words, it's safe up till 30 parts per billion for nitrogen dioxide. What the government is proposing is to bring that cutoff down to 19 or even 15 later on in 2025, 15 parts per billion. Now, if the research says that 9 parts per billion causes asthma, there's no point in bringing that level above what causes health impacts. So the doctors of Environment Australia and other peak medical bodies want to bring those levels, cutoffs lower for those three pollutants. It's available on the DEA website for anyone who's interested to help protect the health of the community.
So you'd like to see enforceable laws and well below the WHO standards and right down at that cutoff point where it starts to affect health. Martin Wirt, what would you like to see when policymakers are sitting down to plan our transport and pollution strategies over the future?
I want to see better standards for pollution coming out of trucks. Europe's had a Euro 6 standard since 2012. We're not expected to get that till 2027. It's not fast enough. We need to get freight on rail. We need to get the cleaner trucks. We need to move towards things like electric trucks. And we need proper freight routes so that these trucks aren't using our residential streets.
That road real estate is a pretty competitive area. I'd like to thank you both for coming in to speak with us on Life Matters today.
Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Martin Wirt is the Maribyrnong Truck Action Group president in Melbourne's Inner West, and Dr. Vicky Kotsiroulos is an associate professor at La Trobe University and Western Sydney University, and a member of Doctors for the Environment Australia as well.